Hello, darlings. Lots happening today, or can you hear the echo in my ukulele? Abe Martinez, who organises the Sing Song Saturday, sent me a call in to my Lily Island station saying that they had a theme for this Sing Song Saturday, which was box office. It was suggested by Kevin No Malone, and here we go. This is what I put in. This dog hair stuck to my fingers because, of course, there's this dog. Oh no, I've lost you guys. I've lost you. You've fallen down the valley of my blankets. Here we go, precariously balanced on my ute case again. Here we go. Fame makes a man take things over. Fame lets him loose, hard to swallow. Fame puts you there when things are hollow. Fame, it's not your brain, it's just the flame that your brain... I kind of improvised this at the time. It's not your brain, it's just the flame that burns your change to keep you insane. And I'm not sure how this goes because I'm looking at the uke tabs. And fame, what you like is in the limbo. Yeah. Fame, what you like is in the limbo. Fame, what you get is no tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes they put the little things in the places that they don't seem to belong. That's where they say the tabs should change. Anyway, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Louise, that's my name. Coming up next, the Thai boxer.
I wasn't on Lemur, I wasn't on Anchor, I wasn't on anywhere. I got Abe Martinez all excited about Sing Song Saturday, and then I vanished.
That was Rare Todd, and I can really relate to the whole vanishing thing, particularly from Sing Song Saturday, so it's great to be doing it again, and I encourage you guys to sign up with Anchor so that you can participate in Sing Song Saturday. It doesn't matter day, you just do whatever. It's all kinds of people singing all kinds of ways, the good, the bad, the ugly, the wonderful. So, here's a story about one of my sexcapades in Thailand from, how old am I now? From about 5 years ago. So, right. So way back then, after I'd bombed in this job and gotten a payout, I took this sabbatical that ended up being 5 months, starting in Cambodia and then moving over to Thailand. And I met my husband Brad over in Thailand for him to have a little holiday there with me. And when he was there, I asked him if I could have what I now know to be called a hall pass. So he reluctantly gave it to me because I guess he knew there was probably no stopping me anyway. And I was genuinely hoping that it might reinvigorate our sex life because it had been dead for years. And that was pretty naive. I barely got sexually satisfied over there. I was so hungry. Like that episode where I did the poem, I'm skin hungry. And that's really how I felt. And that's how I've been feeling, just as an aside, lately. I guess I'm missing Derek because I've been seeing all these dark-skinned guys on TV in different shows and going, and I'm like, what does that mean? Am I one of those chicks? I guess I'm one of those chicks now. I don't know. Anyway, so back to the thing I actually wrote for this episode. But the thing that I was really wanting was novel sex, new people. I don't know, but I just, like I said, I was hungry. It really felt like my cunt Sandra was starving, you know, like I couldn't feed her enough. And I don't know whether, just as an aside, whether I've really experienced anything close to the sexual satisfaction I had in LA for the 3 weeks with Derek. Maybe I have before. And I even know, like, we both weren't on our, like, best game. I know that we could have so much more. But for how long and will we ever? That is the thing. It seems, frankly, impossible. I don't know. Anyway, back to the story. Most of my time in Thailand was spent in the touristy island of Koh Phangan, and I stayed near the main ferry port and former fishing village. Nearby was a low-key resort run by a Thai family who had fingers in many pies, including selling weed. The bar located on the beach was where you could get your ganja from, and I was a steady customer. So I ended up moving to those bungalows, and I stayed in the bungalow closest to the bar. And so I ended up hanging out there a fair bit. When a new owner took over, his name was Num. And the first night I met him, he absolutely charmed me. And afterwards, we had some very mutually disappointing sex. I was still not sure what I was doing at that point. So this is not the Thai boxer. This is the bartender. So that was interesting. We kind of became friends after that, Norm and I, and then enemies. But in the friend bit, I painted his bar, because it had a picture of Bob Marley on it, and it was really faded and it didn't look great anymore. So I tried to freshen it up at first, and then it didn't work. So I ended up doing this overhaul. And if you go to DeviantArt and look up Artie Lou, ArtyLou, you'll be able to find that picture somewhere in amongst all of my pictures of the bar. And so Bob Marley on one side and a green goddess on the other side, and a lot of abstract expressionist painting in between. So anyway, back to the script. So yeah, I did it for free. It was a great opportunity. It was really difficult because the wall was built on boulders. So it was quite difficult to find a way to get the face to look right. I had to use 5 different photographs of Bob Marley to piece it all together. And then, yeah, it was cool though, because as you moved around, it's like his facial expression changed. So I was painting that day and night, a lot of time through the night, so that I wouldn't be interfering with the bar patronage. And on one particular night at 2 a.m., these 3 Thai guys rocked up and walked past, and they were like, hi, or something, kind of acknowledged me. And then one of them came back and he sat behind me in the darkness in the restaurant that was kind of slightly further along the beach than the bar. And I've lost my place in the script again. Okay. So he didn't speak English. I mean, maybe just a handful of words. And I don't speak Thai. Oh, well, maybe a handful of words. Sawadika, kopunka, sabaidi mai. You know, pretty much just hi, how are you, thank you. Okay, so eventually I finished for the night and I cleaned up all my brushes and tidied up the area. And the Thai guy was still there. He would come back and sit in the light with me for a bit and watch and then go back into the dark. And I guess, I don't know, he was waiting for me. But I was used to people just sitting and watching me paint. So I was focused. So when I finished, I was intrigued. Like, what's to do with this guy? I was a little bit nervous going into the dark area of the restaurant, and I sat down with him and we started to make out. And so it was awkward. on this restaurant, they built it around trees, so there was this spot where we were, and as he lay back, his head kind of went into the hollow between the deck and the tree, and it just made him so vulnerable. I don't know, because his head was kind of going back, and anyway, I kind of hovered above him, and he just went crazy for my boobs. I mean, it was like he was ravenous. He was skin hungry. And I do have large breasts, and they're quite white, and I have pale pink nipples, and unbeknownst to me, this is quite exotic in Thailand. So, you know, I guess I was just like, whoa, you know, dynamite to him. And he went at my breasts with so much zeal that he actually left bruises the next day, but it kind of turned me on, these like finger marks on my white skin. And yeah, but he really wanted to have sex. I've gone totally off script now. He really wanted to have sex, but I was still at this stage not sure if I wanted to go all the way with anybody. I thought, you know, I just wanted to make out, and that way it was somehow less like cheating, or like, I didn't even know. It had been so long since I'd had sex. It had been years. So I was literally just feeling things out. And he kept saying, I want to get up. I'm going to go get a condom. And I kept saying, no, this is it. This is all that's happening. And he was like, no, I'll get it. And I'm like, get up to go, and I'm leaving. So we just ended up doing that for a while, and it was incredible. And he would resist, like he'd try to get up, and I would just ever so gently push him back down, and it just made me think he's like a kitten. He's just, it was like I had him hypnotized. I mean, I found out later, the Thai boxing champion for Kopan Yang, I don't know where else, but he was, you know, he was a strong, agile, you know, fighting force, this guy. And he was just like putty in my hands, or in my breasts anyway. And yeah, I don't remember how it ended up finishing, but I stupidly said something to this Thai massage lady about, you know, trying to get in contact with him again. And that got through to his family, and his family gave him grief about it. And so he was pretty pissed off with me after that. He was like, I told you not to say anything. And, you know, with girls, you think you let another girl know and that's not really saying anything. At least that's what I thought at the time. But yeah, I remember. Oh my God. I was on this stretch of road walking along to the resort and he drove up in his car and I didn't know he was pissed off at me at this stage. But he stopped right beside me and he said something along the lines of, I told you not to say anything. And he just made this disgusted sound. And I was like, oh, I just was, I was gobsmacked. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I won't be fooling around with him again. I don't know. Maybe it was for the best. But yeah, that's the story of the Thai boxing guy that I made out with. And yeah, he was pretty sexy. There was another Thai boxing guy from South Africa that was a like won some championship thing on the island as well. And JJ, I think his name was, and he was really keen on me, but I don't know, I found him too sexually aggressive. Now I think I really probably should have taken him up on that. I don't know. I could have had more fun. Who knows? But he was committed to trying to get me into bed, but I wasn't interested. So anyway, things have changed with me. I don't know what to say, how to put it, but Derek and I are in contact again, I guess. A while ago, about a month ago, I sent him a message in WhatsApp saying, am I blocked? Because he said that he'd blocked me in an email. And I was curious as to whether I was blocked or not. And just a couple of days ago, he wrote back saying, am I still blocked? And I said, no, hello. And he said, hello. I commented that, you know, I was glad to see that he's still making episodes. He put out an episode a few days ago. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why he thought to reach out. I don't know if he knew whether it was me listening or what, but yeah, I was listening. I was listening and I was missing him. And so, yeah, I replied to him saying that I was, you know, glad to see him making episodes. And he said, same. And I said, oh, well, it's touch and go, but, you know, I'm glad I'm back into it. And then I said, so what's good? And then I've heard nothing. And it's been 24 hours. And there were big gaps in the conversation with him. And he'd wait like an hour before responding sometimes, or close to an hour. And I don't know. I had all kinds of thoughts. Like, is he playing? Is he hurt? What's going on? And he may be listening to this now. So, I guess you're listening into my inner thoughts that I don't feel comfortable expressing them directly to you. But yeah, to the people who are listening, hey, last episode, I think I had 128. It's been nearly a week, so that was exciting. I appreciate every single one of you, honestly. I really do. It's so good that you're listening to my podcast. I love it. And that's why I tried to think of something that would be entertaining and maybe titillating for you guys. And I wrote the story about the Thai boxing guy. So anyway, I don't know what's happening there, but I just think that he's being cautious, because As you may know, if you're a regular listener, I really hurt him when I was living at that unit where I had the Brazilian bitch who beat me up at the end and threw all my stuff out the front door. I was having a horrible time, and he did warn me. He warned me twice about my situation. One was that it was untenable, me just putting up with her, and he also warned me about the amount of stuff I was taking at the time. But it all felt like I just had to. I just had to put up with her. I just had to take the drugs. I needed somewhere to live. I was desperate. And so our relationship paid the price of me being in that headspace by just getting really pissed off with him. I mean, it's not all my fault. It really isn't. There's shit that went on, and I didn't speak up enough or loudly enough or in a way that he could hear, or he didn't listen, or both. I don't know. But I know I have a pattern of not being assertive until it just goes boom. And I'm happy to say that the relationship with my sister, where I'm living now, I'm making improvements with that. I feel a little teary actually saying that. It's really good. I'm so glad. I'm both relieved because it means that hopefully I'll be able to stay for a while, whereas it was looking like I might have to move out. And I'm also relieved to be salvaging this relationship. And it isn't easy, and she knows that too. And so she tries to be accommodating. And, you know, Derek is the same. He's got a very thick shell. He can be gotten through to, but it does take so much of my effort and resolve somehow. Like, I don't know how to get through. But sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't know what it would take, but I'm just happy that there is some line of communication open with him, because I still love him. I do. I still have the gold star pendant that he gave me, that I said, no, I want you to come and get this. And he said that he would. He'd come and get it from Australia. I did at one point say I would mail it back to him, and then got pissed off because he gave me someone else's address. And I just felt, so I took great umbrage to that. He owes me, you know, he owes me a fair bit of money. Well, for me, that I'm paying interest on. So I guess I feel entitled to keep the pendant, because it's a $1,600 pendant. If I'm not going to get my money back from him, I don't know. I may still send it back to him. Money, that's the other thing. That's the other issue. Oh! Hey! This is my alarm saying, call my gov. All right! Maybe not. I'm sorry, guys. I had my iPad open to read my script before. But there we go. I think it's time to go. And, money makes things even more awkward still. So I don't have much hope for him and I having a romantic relationship, because it just seems like everything is stacked against us. And I don't know about how we're going to go with a friendship, because when we reconnect, the sexual connection is so strong. We're usually having phone sex within 24 hours, and I don't know what to do. Honestly, I guess I'll just go watch some more Luke Cage and drool. Okay. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. Talk to you soon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.